Hi folks, Beeble Pete here, and today I'm with Joe Lidster, author of teleplays for Torchwood and the Sarah Jane Adventures, also many, many audios for Big Finish, including Dark Shadows, which he has directed recently. Hello, Mr. L.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, not bad. Sort of getting over lots of travelling around for Christmas. I think we've had about 3 Christmases so far, although we're going to our 4th one tomorrow after New Year's, so yeah.
Nice.
It's my day off, and I'm working, obviously.
So I want to get a bit of background first on Dark Shadows. I was still back in San Francisco in 1990 when the Sci-Fi Channel launched, and I saw a few of them then. And, of course, I caught up on these latest 5, including Tainted Love, the one that you directed. Mm. Do you know much about how the sort of Big Finish franchise started at all?
Basically, it was Stuart Manning who was working for Big Finish. Mm-hmm. This is about 10, 11 years ago. He was working for Big Finish as a cover designer, and he still does work for them. He does the Dorian Gray covers and things like that.
Yeah.
And he, I think, suggested it because he'd been a fan of it, because he'd seen it when it was shown over here on the Sci-Fi Channel, because it's not very well known in Britain. You know, whenever I say it to people, people might have heard of the Tim Burton movie that didn't do very well, or they've not heard of it, unless they're American. And it's quite nice we get American actors. We had Lachelle Carl, who played Trinity Wells in Doctor Who. We had her in as the sheriff in our miniseries we did called Bloodlust. Nice. And she was a huge fan of it. She was like, she came in and she was like, oh god, I remember going from school to watch it.
That's cool.
So that was cool. But yeah, so I think Stuart suggested it to Big Finish, and Big Finish at that point, Big Finish didn't have that many other licenses other than their Doctor Who license.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that got Jason Hay Gallery interested was it would be an American property.
Right.
You know, it's an American series, there are American actors, the license is owned by a man in America, you know, it's, I think that's what got him interested.
Right.
And I think, yeah, it just went on from there.
I guess the one by one, some of the original cast became interested.
I wasn't really hugely involved at the time. I was friends with Stuart and with Gary Russell, who directed them. But I know basically what Stuart did was he got what you might call the 4 big sort of longest serving actors in it. Unfortunately, Barnabas, the actor who played Barnabas, wasn't interested at the time and has sadly since died, although he did do an audio. So they recast Barnabas. But yeah, they basically went, well, here are the 4 big names, the big hitters from the series. And get them on board, and they did it, and yeah. And then gradually he would get somebody else in to do, because they then started doing these, they called them dramatic readings, so effectively like a Doctor Who companion chronicle, mm-hmm. usually with 2 actors. And then, so he started to be able to get some of the other ones in, and some people from like the 1990s Dark Shadows series when they rebooted it, and so on.
Cool.
So yeah, he gradually started to build it up, and then when I sort of took over with James Goss, and then with David Darlington, we managed to get, we've had pretty much everyone back. Everyone who's interested in coming back is back now. So yeah, no, it's been good, and it's just nice to, yeah, it's nice to sort of get them back in and develop things with the characters, because that's the thing about Dark Shadows, because it's a serial. It's very much a lot of the characters are characters that were, because it's a soap opera, basically, so it's like we're bringing back EastEnders 50 years after it finished.
Right.
Or whatever soap, you know, you might know. So it's great sort of bring back actors and sort of work out where those characters, I mean, we're usually sort of set around 20 years after the series finished, but we sort of go, well, where would that character be now? We give some of them children and things like that. So it's really good fun. It's great when we get another actor interested, because we can get to go, oh, great, bring their character back to Collins and do things with them.
Right. I guess the BBC would call it continuing drama.
Yes. Well, I think in America, they prefer the term serial drama rather than soap opera or something. So I think it's the thing I think it's most like is it's like most like Sapphire and Steel or Doctor Who. If they were all set in one house with the same group of actors, what Dark Shadows turns into over the years is it turns into a show about 2 characters, Barnabas and Julia, traveling back in time to the same house they're in now to 1897, and then going to a parallel universe and a parallel universe version of the house and things like that. And all the regular actors are there playing their own ancestors or their parallel universe counterparts or and so on. So it's this very mad, brilliant thing of being a daily soap opera or serial continuing drama combined with a very sort of Sapphire and Steel Doctor Who thing. And it's, yeah, it's just bonkers. And it just gets more and more crazy as it goes on. And it's brilliant.
I also took in the final episode. So basically, it's a program that I watched begin in 1966 and complete in, what, the 18th century?
I mean, basically, a lot of Dark Shadows, it's dictated by the actor Jonathan Frid, who played Barnabas Collins, yeah, because they bought him in. The viewing figures had started to decrease a little bit, and the show had ghosts in it, but they were very sort of fleeting. It's beautiful, actually, some of the ghost stuff. It's really amazing, considering it was shot as live.
Yeah.
And then they brought in a Phoenix character. The long-lost mum was a Phoenix. And then they brought in Barnabas the Vampire. Well, I think he was meant to be in it for 13 weeks.
Oh, interesting.
And they brought in a sort of Van Helsing-type character. They killed off the Doctor who's in it and brought in a Van Helsing-type character, Julia Hoffman, and she was going to die. And it was just the casting and the writing of Barnabas Collins and Julia Hoffman. It's not an exaggeration to say it was Beatlemania or Dalek Mania.
Wow.
You can see where Jonathan Frid goes on tours across America, across colleges across America, and he's absolutely mobbed and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
So basically what they had to do was go, we've got to find a way to keep effectively Dracula and Van Helsing as characters in this show. And so that means they needed to soften Barnabas and they needed to explore his origins. And so that eventually led to the first time travel thing where they went back to 1797, where he's a young man, and we find out how he became a vampire. So we get to see him as a nice bloke, and then we find out he became a vampire, and so on. And then at the end, towards the end of the series, Jonathan was apparently unhappy with playing Barnabas anymore. So they created a whole new character for him, Bramwell. And kind of the last storyline is a bit odd because nobody is playing a character they've played before. It's the first time they close off the character.
Well, one of the things I think the franchise is duly proud of is its kind of invention of a very sympathetic vampire character.
Yes, yeah. It's even things like it was using CSO before Doctor Who was.
I saw that.
And it was shooting us live, and it wasn't always a success. But I mean, the imagination behind Dark Shadows on every level, it's very easy to sort of go and watch an old episode and laugh because you've got bloopers in and people forgetting their lines and that. But there's a brilliant blog called the Dark Shadows Everyday blog,
I've been there.
He analyzes it. Each episode, and he has a good fun with it, but he analyzes it. But one thing I remember, just one way, it was just like he compared it to an episode of a Daily Hospital soap that was on at the time, same time, and he compared a fairly similar scene of a man and a woman talking and someone's got a secret or something. And in the hospital one, you know, it was one camera on a wide shot, two cameras on close-ups, and nobody moved. They sat in chairs, and a five-minute scene happened. And he said the Dark Shadow scene, the cameras are moving over here, they're moving over there, they're zooming in, there's an effect coming in, there's music, there's lights. You know, it's astonishing what they were doing. And yeah, they, I think, I've yet to see otherwise anywhere else, but they sort of created the tortured vampire, which has become obviously a bigger thing. You know, sort of like Interview the Vampire and Angel and things like that. He's a great character because he's not a nice bloke, even when he's not a vampire. Even when you go back in time and meet him the first time, the first thing you find out he's done, he's had an affair. Mm. And then there are things he does as a vampire when you sort of go, that's not because you're a vampire, that's you being cruel and sadistic for no reason. And then suddenly he's in charge of trying to keep the Collins family alive when something is, you know, some pirate ghost is coming back from the 18th century or something. It's brilliant, and he's fascinating. He's an amazing character.
And the one you directed has actually got a few different time periods.
I was just going to say, I just realized I didn't. I directed elements of it, but it was mostly directed by David Darlington.
Oh, interesting.
Was it now? I've forgotten.
Well,
This is with
Kathleen Cody, Alec Newman, and it covers four time periods: Halloween, Christmas, Valentine's Day.
Yes, I did. You're right. No, I did. I did direct Kathleen. Kathy Cody was directed by David Arlington.
Gotcha.
Well, I corrected the two.
Yeah, thing about Big Finish is I remember listening to the extras on Light at the End, and just how much of a logistical exercise it was just to get the voices you needed to get, and how many of those people really kind of had to act with somebody else.
Yeah. No, we did. I mean, our biggest one was... was it Beyond the Grave? I think we worked... No, there was one we did in our first year of doing it together, me and Dave Dyson. We did one called The Flip Side. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in it, all of whom didn't work together. And it's effectively a two-hander, but it's got four other characters in it, and they never met. And then we did, our 13-part miniseries called Bloodlust, and that's got a huge cast. And again, it was all filmed in bits and sections, and some people met others, others didn't. And it's always a challenge. It's a sort of we've just got a very good cast. You kind of can rely on the cast to do it. I sort of do it at script editing stage. I'll say to people, to writers, I might occasionally say, give them more direction on a script than you maybe necessarily would. So I might go through and go, right, you've written that line to be said as a joke. The Action American might not say it, no, it's a joke. The director might not know it's a joke. We'll have an actor over here reacting to it and laughing to it as a joke. So we'll need to put in brackets, it's a joke. So which you normally wouldn't necessarily do because it's slightly patronising towards actors. But you kind of have to occasionally just give a little bit more direction like that.
Yeah.
And then what we do is, because obviously we've got more control over what's recorded over here, which tends to be me and Davey directing together, and with me maybe more concentrating on the creative side of it. He certainly records it and makes sure it all happens, and also can listen out for mistakes, and I'll listen out for mistakes. But I tend to, occasionally there might be, because it's Dark Shadows, there's a lot of thunderstorms and things like that. So I will say to actors over here, I might get them to record, right, now a potential shouting over a really loud thunderstorm. Now can you do the scene as if you're talking normally, because we don't necessarily know what the American actors have done.
Right.
So yeah, it's fun, it's a challenge, but I think we get away with it. I mean, I think especially, talk about Bloodlust, I listen to it and I haven't got a clue who's recorded with who. And I was at the recording sessions, and I organised the American, or I helped organise the American ones. You cannot tell. It works so well. We try and get as many as we can. We did the anniversary special, the 50th anniversary special this year. Was it recorded this year? I can't remember when it was recorded. It was either the end of last year or beginning of this year. And we obviously wanted anybody we could get back. So there were a few people recorded things over here. A few of our newer actors, because we wanted to celebrate the new characters we brought in. So a few of our new, we had a day over here. We had a couple of people who, I think three actors who picked theirs up in little sessions by themselves. And then we managed to get everybody else together for 2 days. Not everybody there for both days, but we've got a nice big group of people on the first day and a nice big group of people on the second day. So that's nice for the actors. It's a bit more fun for them when we can.
Yeah. But it still comes through really well. And not only is it different time zones, but it's also different flavors. Like The Curse of Sharafa is very different than Tainted Love, for example.
Mm. Yeah, no, again, that's... when I took over the sort of dramatic readings with James Goss, me and him took over from Stuart Manning, I think one thing... I know why Stuart had done it, but I think some of the early releases are slightly baffling if you don't know Dark Shadows. And he'd done that for the right reasons. He'd done that because he wanted to show the Dark Shadows fans.
Gotcha.
This is Dark Shadows. This is absolutely 100% respectful of Dark Shadows. Right. So there's not as much humour in them as there is in the TV series or in some of our later audios. There's not as much, it's very respectful.
Right.
But also slightly relies on you knowing who people are.
Right, because you hadn't yet sort of grown it.
Yeah, I hadn't seen a single episode, and I was a bit baffled when I started listening to the audios. And they're very good, but I did get confused at times. I was like, who's this? So one thing I wanted to do was help get more people listening to them.
Right.
And so what I suggested was that we look at doing more. Can we make them more like Tales of the Unexpected?
Yeah.
So they become very much about. They much more standalone, although there's serial elements in, and we've certainly developed the serial elements as we've gone on. That each story should work as a standalone story, and that each one should be writer led. Because I'm a big fan of, so I've worked with a lot of new writers on Dark Shadows, and giving them, you know, things to do. But also, it's thinking about even just things like the cover. So the Curse of Shraffa needed one, you know, we wanted that type of cover. Right. And so what I wanted was that it shouldn't ever feel like there's no point to this story. It should never feel like it's just another monthly release. And so we ended up, you know, we ended up getting so lots of variety of writers and things like that. So that year we had Panic, which is Rory Gill, which is very sort of slightly English mystical folk magic-y type thing, but it's also a screwball comedy about a woman falling in love. No, the Curse of Shraffa, which is very much a horror. It's pure audio horror. Yeah. Quite horrible to listen to, but it's good horror in a good way.
Well, it's more of an adventure than, say, Deliverance from Evil, which is very evil.
Yes. Yeah, it's an adventure, and it's very dark. It's quite sick in places. Yeah. And then we have In the Twinkling of an Eye, which is this absolutely beautiful sort of exploration of, I can never think how to describe it. It's very sort of beautiful. It's about the friendship between two women. It's very slightly weird and creepy, but then it's about something. It's, you know, but it's so beautiful. And then that's followed by Deliver Us from Evil, which is pure set. You know, we're trying to push the series on. You know, develop the serial elements, you know, move the characters on so they're not playing, you know, and it's a big thing for us is we don't want the characters, you don't want the actors to get bored, so I don't want them playing boring, you know, of being hunted by the vampire again, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we turned Maggie, who's the hero of Dark Shadow, who becomes the sort of default hero of Dark Shadow, heroine of Dark Shadows, we turn her into a baddie, sort of, in Bloodlust. She gets caught up in the Bloodlust, you know, she becomes quite a harsh character in that. Kathy Cody, who's in Tainted Love, I mean, she basically plays it and Hallie Stokes in the TV series, who's, you know, she's not got a huge character because it's not that kind of show.
Well, she was a girl,
but I mean, she actually does have, you know, her parents are killed in a car crash or something, and she's orphaned, so she goes and lives at Collingwood, basically because there was a little girl there. They needed a little girl character, so they just gave... She's not even related to the family. Yeah. But she's not like she really talks about her parents or, you know, is wallowing in grief or anything.
True.
She's too busy getting possessed by, I think, talking by ghosts, the ghost of herself in the past or something. Yeah. So, but Kathy, you know, when she came back, she wanted to do that harder side of Hallie Stokes. And, you know, which I thought is very brave of her because it's taking a loved character and taking it down a very dark path.
Very cool.
It's what I love doing is I love working with the writers and sort of developing, hopefully, very good standalone stories that then fit in as part of this great thing. So you could listen to Tainted Love you wouldn't need to have heard of the words Dark Shadows before. Tainted Love works, hopefully, you know, there'll be a few references in it you might not quite get, but the story itself is a man and a woman are getting married, and another woman, well, they're not getting married, are they? A man and a woman are seeing each other, and another woman comes back and she wants him back. Right. And so he's going to do stuff to get him back. That's set up in the opening scene. You don't need to know who the various people are. They are strong characters, really written by Daniel Collard, who are strongly introduced. They each go on their journey, and then the end of the story happens. You know, so it's that. So if you know Dark Shadows, Tainted Love is hugely important in the canon because of what it does with Hallie Stokes and Amy and David and so on. You know, they're such vital characters in the Dark Shadows world. But it also works if you don't know Dark Shadows. So I think that, to me, is the important thing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it can't always be like that. Sometimes it does rely on slightly, like, unread all over, very much. Again, it's a standalone story. You get a lot more of it if you know who Burke Devlin is.
Right.
But it should still work as a piece of drama.
It was, it was because I'd seen the first three episodes of Dark Shadows. It was actually neat because that was the one that had somebody I'd seen before.
Yes, of course. Yes.
And that was nice, but you know, it wasn't necessary. I mean, what was going on was actually a pretty good sci-fi.
Mm. Which one? And Red All Over.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a great script by Cody Shell. He's a
He's
one of our big Dark Shadows fans. So that script. If you are a Dark Shadows fan, I think nearly every other line references something from the series, which most of which went over my head. And it's only when I've gone back and rewatched the opening of the series since we've done and read all over, and I've gone, yes, that's what Cody was talking about. Oh, that's what he was talking about. Oh, that's what he was talking about. And it's brilliant though, because I maybe knew slightly less about it. I was able to sort of go, this line makes no sense, or that's just Cody making stuff up. That's part of his character. and so it works really nicely. But again, it's a very, that one's a much more, it's, I mean, that one, it's all came about. We thought when we knew we got Mitchell Ryan back, we wanted it to feel like the black and white era of the show. Yeah. So we wanted it to feel like, is it supernatural or is it just in people's imagination, which is what they're in that, and it, you know, it's got a black and white cover, and so it's a very sort of, it's got that slightly, oh, what's that series, what's the one with William Shatner on the plane, what's that in?
Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it's got a Twilight Zone vibe to it. It's a sort of, it's two people in a house and there's weird stuff happening outside.
There's a proper freight. Also at the end they mention Victoria Winters. You know, I don't know where that's going, but
I can say now it's not going anywhere just yet. I have a Victoria Winters planning document, so we say a story document. So I know exactly what I'd want to do with Victoria Winters, and the license holder has it, but it all depends on whether Alexandra Molka wants to come back or not.
Right.
You know, she's asked, the license holder asks her every once in a while. she's just, you know, she's quite happy for it to be in her past and not to be in her, you know, not to be something she does now. It would be amazing if we could get her back. I think, you know, there'll come a point where we might say, we might do something else. I mean, we've just, one of the short stories we've just released actually tells an important part of Victoria's backstory. Even if it doesn't really feature her in it, it tells this sort of big part basically reveals who her father is. But you know, so we will continue. She won't ever be forgotten. So like this, she won't be forgotten. You know, it's just whether we ever get Alexandra back or not.
I mean, besides the fact that, you know, she was another character in the episodes that I'd seen, I'd read that the entire Dark Shadow series came to Dan Curtis in a dream. And
yeah, I don't think he gently, you know,
not every episode or everything.
That'd be a very long dream.
He had this,
But yes, he dreamt about the girl on the train.
Yeah.
Which is a brilliant opening, and it's one we've used quite often in the audios. Whenever we do a new series, we often have opened with a person on a train arriving in Collinsport, because it's a great shorthand, and it immediately says it's Dark Shadows, but it's also a brilliant, really clever way to start a soap opera. She doesn't know anybody there. There's a mystery about her, and there's a mystery about everybody in the town, you know, so already there's you know, you're sort of, oh, there's so many mysteries in this. It's a great way to start the series.
Now, are you the right person for me to speak with regarding these new ones coming up?
Yeah, the short story collections.
Yeah, because that's,
we've got Bloodline as well.
I talked to Matthew Waterhouse.
My first year as co-producer, either me or James Goss read somewhere in a blog that Matthew Waterhouse was a fan of Dark Shadows.
Oh, cool.
I think it's in his Blue Box Boy biography.
I've read that. I should remember.
I think it's only mentioned briefly or something, but, you know, it jumped out at us. And I, so at the time, Matthew wasn't doing Big Finish, and I thought, well, that would be a bit of a coup if we could get Matthew Waterhouse to do it. And it turned out, I don't know if it was the Gallifrey 1 convention maybe, or something that year, but he was going to be at that, and we could get him and David Selby in studio together. So we got Simon Guerrier, you know, he's obviously a brilliant writer, he's technically one of the best writers, and we got him to write a very sort of standalone Quentin meets Matthew Waterhouse in, I think, probably said Britain. We want ideally World War II Britain. So it's Quentin, and he meets Matthew Waterhouse, and you do whatever you like. And it's a story called The Creeping Fog, and it's fantastic. It's a fantastic horror story. So we got add Matthew in. Of course, no idea whether Matthew would actually be any good or not, because he's only done theatre, really, since Doctor Who. So
he was hard done by that change of script editors.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And so we had no idea, though, whether he'd be any good or not. Audio, we'd relied on this thing. Anyway, the story comes in. He's absolutely amazing. He is brilliant in it. So we immediately then, not immediately, we then later, so we, so he had a couple of small parts in The Crimson Pearl, but then, yeah, then when we were doing, a couple of years later, when me and Davey were doing Bloodlust, Davey knows Matthew quite a lot as well, and I know now Matthew. I mean, he sort of, he lives over here and we go out for dinner and stuff. And we wanted Matthew back as a main character, so we brought him into Bloodlust, and he's fantastic. And then we brought him back in the anniversary special. And what we've done is we've given Mr. Gonwell, we'll do that Dark Shadows thing. So he's got the same surname. He always plays Cunningham. So he's been a Reverend Cunningham. He's been the museum owner Cunningham in The Creeping Fog. He's a sort of journalist, but not a very nice man, Cunningham, in Bloodlust. And it's great. We're sort of building up this Cunningham family. I mean, we can't do it all the time, but he's very funny to work with. He's a great laugh. If you listen on our SoundCloud page, which is Dark Shadows BFP, the latest podcast on there is the Short Stories podcast or something. It's an interview with sort of a bunch of us on the day we're recording Short Stories with Matthew and Stephanie Aline, who plays Amy. Well, I mean, you can just hear, there's a bit where I ask Matthew if he's drunk, because he's just so funny. So yeah, he's a joy to work with, and he's really good. He's really, he really gets Dark Shadows. Dark Shadows, you have to be slightly heightened. You know, the acting has to be slightly heightened. And actually, I think it helps if the actors are slightly off the wall a little bit. So the younger actors you've got, the ones who keep going back, you go, yeah, because they're just a bit weird. Stephanie plays Amy, is bonkers. And again, she's in that podcast, you know, and they bring that element, because they need to be that to be able to match the older American actors, who are obviously so know their parts and know exactly the level to go for. We need to keep our actors. And Matthew he fits in perfectly.
I heard the Fifth Doctor box he was in, and that was good.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think he enjoys getting to play other parts other than Adric.
Exactly.
I think, you know, obviously Adric's great for him to play, but I think he loves when he can come in and play a bit of a bastard for us, things like that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So this next series that's coming up, has it got an overall theme? Is it an anthology?
Well, we've got a couple of things. So we did Bloodlust, which was our big 13-part serial. We've got the audios from Panic through to And Red All Over actually are all set after Bloodlust. So you have Bloodlust, then you have those six. And then we've got a 13-part serial called Bloodline that's sadly been delayed because it was meant to come out this year. But it's been delayed because of actor availability. But actually what that's allowed me to do is spend a bit longer on the scripts because it is possibly the most ridiculous, complicated, mad thing Big Finish have ever released.
Okay. That's saying something.
It is just, I keep forgetting what it is because I've had to do, because I've been juggling a lot of other stuff, and I'll be talking to someone and they'll go, oh, well, obviously we're later on in episode 12 and that, and I'll go, God, I'd forgotten that person was even in it, let alone that this, it's very difficult to talk about.
Right.
Because we're not saying what the story is. The whole point of it is, I think the little catchphrase we've used is, Bloodlust was a story about a mystery. It was a story about a murder mystery. Bloodline is a mystery about the story. You all you need to know is that two people are going to get married and some people turn up. Family and friends turn up and some people you might not expect to turn up. So it's a very family vibe to it in the opening of it.
Interesting.
So again, it's being very different to Bloodlust, but keeping the vibe of Bloodlust and keeping the characters. And then, it just goes to all sorts of that. I can't say anymore.
Right.
And the other thing we're doing, we've got, as well as a couple of other things in the pipeline, but the thing that's been announced is 16 short stories. I think Yeah, we've just brought out one for Christmas. There's three or four short story collections coming out next year, each with four writers and four different actors, and Matthew Waterhouse is in two of them. And yeah, there's some really strong stuff there, and there's a real nice variety of writers. So our first one came out around the 50th anniversary last year, which was Phantom. I can't remember the names. We've given them all, because it's that. That's what the problem with Dark Shadows is. It can be really hard to name things. Everything becomes the Haunting of or the Phantom of. So where are we? The short story collections. Yes, right. Echoes of the Past came out middle of last year. Haunting Memories came out last Christmas, which was in a week ago. And then, yeah, we've got four coming out next year. Phantom is Dreams of Long Ago, Love Lives On, and Shadows of the Night, which are all phrases from a song from the TV series. Mm. And, yeah, it's been really good. They are 16 different stories, 16 different writers, a nice mix of people who've done Dark Shadows before, people who haven't, people who are brand new. Men, women, Americans, British, and then there are eight actors sort of spread across them, so each one's got a slightly different combination of actors. Matthew's done two and Stephanie's done two. Ree Wallace is back. And yeah, it works really nicely. It's audio, and again, each story is its own standalone little horror story, but hopefully adds a bit more to the big arc-y serial. It's not even an arc, the big serial, the family history. We've got stories set in the past. We've got one story I think is the most modern story we'll have done, which is sort of around the early 2000s. It's a really nice mix. It's been real fun working on it. It's been a challenge because the whole idea is that we could get them done. We could get them recorded, and then we've got something that's quite easy for us next year, because Bloodline is going to be quite complicated, so we'll have something we've already recorded and is ready to do. But actually, script editing 16 short stories at around the same time isn't... my head has gone slightly mad. I've got two still to finish. A few of them have been recorded now, but I have two still to finish. They're very brand new writers, and we're going a bit slower.
Right.
So that I can get them to get further on. But they're both already working really nicely. Again, they're very different voices, which is what I really like, especially in short stories. I think a short story should have a voice to it, whether it's a character voice and it's in first person, or whether it's an author voice in third person or something. There should be something. And that's what we've got with these. There's just some gorgeous stuff coming up. So really, really happy with them.
Very cool.
And if people like horror, if you don't know Dark Shadows, but you want a spooky half an hour story, well, you get four of them if you buy one of those discs or one of those downloads. You get four, and they're very beautifully produced by David Arlington as well. We have music, and we've even used voices from the TV series. We've threaded that through and things like that. So it's a really sort of, I think it's a really high quality thing, which is very nice. I'm very happy with them.
Also, I think this is probably the only other series I can think of outside of Doctor Who where the theme tune won't leave me alone for days.
I know. Well, imagine what it's like for me. I have to watch so much. I mean, I love it, but I'm watching so much of it all the time because I'm constantly doing research. Because it's not, again, because it's got that slightly different fan base. It's not as well documented. So Doctor Who, frankly, I could write for any Doctor or companion, whatever, I wouldn't need to watch a single thing. Right. Because like appearances of Adric, I just go to TARDIS wiki and there they all are, blah blah blah. I mean, I do, because you want to get the voices right. Yeah. Dark Shadows wiki, I mean, half of it's not there, half it's not dated, and you are, it's because it's the same characters throughout the series, all their own ancestors and things like that. There is so much history there, and you want to try and get it right. So that does mean that there will be times when I have to watch 100 episodes of Dark Shadows very quickly.
Wow.
That theme tune is kind of ingrained in my head now. Certainly with these short stories, again, we're flitting around quite a bit. And yeah, so it's like, oh God, we've got Amy and Nancy Barrett's character, Carolyn. We've got Amy and Carolyn at university. Oh, great. Oh, yeah, so she's doing this. She's, and then suddenly went, well, we've done stories set around that time, and actually Amy would have a boyfriend by that point, so let me double check, and I'll have to re-listen to an audio we did 3 years ago, you know, right. An hour. I'll sit down for an hour and go through it and go, right, yeah, so she says this, she said this, she said, right, okay, that's okay. It doesn't seem to be specified when they got together and how we can make that fit in with the short story. And it's stupid, because it's the kind of thing that 10 people might notice. They might go, wouldn't Amy have been seeing Simon by that point? But it really matters to me, because I think it's kind of, it should all fit in its beautiful,
but it's not stupid, because the body language on the face of one fan that's trying to get somebody else to listen to it,
yeah,
is gonna be there because of that.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
You know? Yeah, it's really lovely stuff. Thank you so much. So let's do dates and times.
Dark Shadows, we're now out. May is the first one, which is Dark Shadows, which is Phantom Melodies, which is Last Orders at the Blue Whale. Well, it's reading about a character called Harry Johnson, who is not a loved character. So it's doing something interesting with him. And, yeah, one of our Stephanie Aline stories, In a Broken Dreams, in that, Amy Jennings. So, yeah, there are two others. I haven't announced yet. So, yes, and then they're out, yeah, May, July, October, December.
Awesome.
And then Bloodline will be out at some point when we write it. Or no, when I finished script editing it. Bless the writers. They finished writing it ages ago.
Gotcha.
Every once in a while they go, I've still look at the script. Can I change something? And I'm like, seriously, you've been paid. Let it go. bless them. They do. They're very, very hard on it.
That's cool to hear.
So, yeah, if I could just actually plug that out as one last thing.
Yeah, go on, huh?
If you go to soundcloud.com/darkshadowsbfp, all one word, we've got loads of stuff up there for free. So it's actually got the first episode of Bloodlust is up there. There's lots of podcasts and interviews. All the trailers are up there. But yeah, there's free samples of a few of the latest stories, like the ones you've listened to.
Nice.
So yes, people should go there, do the play, go and click on playlists. You've got from Bloodlust, you've got characters. Then there's a section playlist called Preview Clips and Bonus Material, which is the first 13 minutes of one bit, the first 5 minutes of something else, and so on. And then you have behind the scenes, which is all about big, about every aspect of it whatsoever, and also some free music. We've got the soundtracks up there as well, which you can download for free. And yeah, and then all the trailers.
Sweet.
All 62 trailers.
So I'm also going to hunt up the introduction of Cunningham.
Ah, yes, Cunningham, yes. He is in, yes, The Creeping Fog.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is Quentin. He's a werewolf. His werewolf side is kept in check, but he does have that animal instinct to him, and he's also mortal. And it's World War II, and I want something spooky with Matthew Waterhouse. And it's, you know, that's all you need to know.
Right.
When going into the story.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Joe. This is great stuff.
No worries. Thank you.
Bye.